Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Beautiful, beautiful. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. I agree 100%. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've got some great stuff for you today. The Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Praise Yahweh. Let's see. To start with here, Iraq demands Iran withdraw troops from oil field. Iraq says it's their oil field, and Iran has moved in and took it over. And crude oil prices, this may be the reason, crude oil prices rose Friday after Iranian troops crossed the Iraq and seized an oil well. and so your gasoline's going to go up a dollar now, I guess, as a result. War and peace. Oh, this is pretty great. In his Barack Obama, in his Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech, President Obama said that Iran would not be allowed to game the system. Game, G-A-M-E, but it is also incumbent upon all of us to insist that nations like Iran and North Korea do not game the system. Those who claim to respect international law cannot avert their eyes when those laws are flaunted. Those who care for their own security cannot ignore the danger of an arms race in the Middle East or East Asia. Those who seek peace cannot stand idly by as nations arm themselves for nuclear war. For nuclear war. Now, they show what the United States has, and they said, we're big enough to stop this. He said, does Iran have some 720 military bases on every continent? Well, the United States does. Is Iran spending 57.077.60 dollars per minute on war? No, but the United States is. If you see the this is a money game, and you've got to remember now, remember this setup, because this comes from the School of Higher Learning. This is what started with this family that Yahweh brought out of Egypt, Abraham's lineage, that Yahweh uses this family, and he's going to let this game, as it's called, play itself out. Yahweh is allowing it to play itself out. Now, I'm surprised they called it that, but maybe he understands more than I thought he did about the scriptures. In 2006, the American nuclear arsenal stood at roughly 18.561.95 kilotons, with an additional assortment of 165,000 megatons of incomprehensible destruction. Wow. And that's exactly what the scripture said we were going to find in this time period. Something else we're going to find in this time period is hunger that is slowly spreading throughout the world, hungry families, homelessness on rise in U.S. cities. Hunger is spreading while the number of homeless families is increasing. City reported a 26% jump in demand for hunger assistance over the past year. That's the food stamps, and we're running out of food stamps. It's getting to where there's not enough funds and not enough food in the food banks, and the people are going hungry. And, of course, when this takes place, It's always brought revolutions, and this is what they're feared of. We have a new disease on the market. It's called Q fever. Organisms are exerted in milk, urine, feces, and infected animals. Most importantly, during birthing, the organisms are shed in high numbers within the fluids and the placenta. The organisms are resistant to heat, drying, and many common disinfectants. These features enable the bacteria to survive for long periods in the environment, or you might put firmament there, and you'll understand more about why we have a global warming. We're adding another one to the list now to kill the protective barrier that Yahweh put around the earth. He calls it the firmament. We translated it firmament from the Hebrew word. It says infection of the humans usually occurs by inhalation of the organisms from air that contains airborne barnyard dust contaminated by dry placental material, birth fluids, and excreta of infected herd animals. Humans are often very susceptible to these diseases, and very few organisms may be required to cause infections. Now, that's not the only new God that's newly come up. The Netherlands slaughter more animals. The Netherlands stepped up measures. You may have heard about this about a month or a month and a half ago. We brought it out, but the Netherlands stepped up measures on Wednesday against the world's biggest Q fever epidemic that has killed 10 humans already. The Minister of Agriculture announced the preventative slaughter of 34,000 expectant goats, ewes, and 1,200 billies, because this is contained in the billy's sperm. Ah, boy. Here's another one, mad cow disease. We got a new form now of mad cow disease. This thing is mutating like AIDS and spreading, and they say more people have got it than first thought. FEMA encourages individuals to resolve to be ready. They're telling you to get ready for the disasters that are coming, and you can help them, they say, by getting your family ready. It won't be long before you won't be able to get ready. What they're doing here, of course, they're trying to get the people to start thinking ahead, because they know these things are going to take place, and they don't want riots on their hands when they take place. STD screening should start early. This article is very sickening. They found that most participants in fornication starts some of them as low as eight years old and getting these diseases. The most of it picks up from around 13 years old. This is so sad that we have got this, you know, especially when we got laws that Yahweh gave us that would have prevented it, but it's here, and it's here now. Here's a rape case of a 8-year-old. Ah, boy, it just keeps getting worse. Let's see, I think that's all that I want to show of these articles right now, because you've got to tie this in. Every bit of this stuff that I just brought you here, you've got to tie it in with the kings of the East and this family that Yahweh purposely bred, watched the breeding program, and then allowed it to go out into the world and showing what can take place. And, of course, this is things that he has faced and worked with now for probably billions of years and has seen it grow steadily worse among the gods and the God-led planets in the universe. This right here, I will read it now because we have three major universities in Abilene, and of course that from these three major universities comes forth the large STD epidemics in this area, and of course they're part of the makeup of this family of Abraham. But they're the ones, of course, who won't repent, haven't repented, so they're leading the world, and this is just part of it, but this is spread out throughout the world. As Daniel said, they will devour the whole earth. This system will, and it has. It's devoured the whole earth, and of course, this is what we see from it. But Abilene, of course, is on trial right now with Yahweh. I don't know how many people will come out of this system. I don't know how many will turn and repent. I would that they all would. I hate to see the Abilene, praise Yahweh, a city named after the first righteous priest who actually taught laws to prevent what we're seeing here. You know, Abel gave us laws that would have prevented everything that's taking place from taking place, and people could have lived in peace, true peace. You know, you can go out and look at all the thrills and all the stores and all the junk they got for sale, but if you just hit yourself on the head and get your brain to working, you know, peace is what you're actually seeking, and it doesn't come with these frills. So, and the basic way of life and the comforts and peace of the basic way of life, having plenty to eat is one thing. Doing without food is very hard. It's a very difficult thing to do. But the world is going to go hungry now because of this. Famine is going to spread throughout the whole world. That's what your Savior said, and you better believe him. And as FEMA said, you better start getting ready for it. But of course, FEMA don't know how to get ready. They don't, you know, they put it off too long. Well, here now we have HIV on the rise in the big country. Big country, speaking mostly of Abilene, Texas. HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, is infecting more big country residents. Far more, actually, according to Big Country AIDS resources, until now, HIV cases were steady this year. The center has seen cases almost double in number. Now, we're speaking right here at Abilene. The Center for Disease Control has seen AIDS cases almost double. Since HIV is most commonly spread among males to males, Jeff says that where most of the increase is, that's where most of the increase is. But now the center has seen a rise not only in men, but married men in Abilene. The buckle on the Bible Belt. That's Abilene. This is the Bible Belt, they call it. And Abilene is the buckle on it. Supposed to be the most sacred part. Sacred to gods, but not to keeping the laws of Yahweh, of course. Jeff said DLs, that's a term for down lows men, who have with men in secret, are becoming increasingly more common in Abilene. That's what the article said. AIDS Resources attributes the rise in HIV in the Abilene area to numerous factors. The center says the increase is due in part simply to more people with HIV moving to town. So, you know, they want to blame the people that's coming in from other places. No, I think they came here and got it, is what I actually think. But they see through this. He goes on to say, but Jeff says, with cases almost double where they were last year, it's undeniable that the virus itself is spreading right here in this big country, right here. It's not coming in from outside, but it's spreading right here. So they're not fooling everybody with their junk. It's spreading here among three major universities, and that's not the first article we've read where they have uncommon rises in the STDs. We know that the religious leaders in Abilene, we know that they are aware that they're doing wrong, and they're not repenting. They're not telling their people to repent. There was a talk show that someone told me about this morning in Abilene. It's held here in Abilene, and they Ask the Professors or something like that, and it's supposed to be professors from two of the major universities here. Well, this week, someone called them and gave them some facts about the name Yahweh, and one of them admitted it. I don't know if both of them did. One of them admitted that the name is Yahweh. It's not God, it's not Lord, but Yahweh. But they knew this before that talk show. Their teachings that about Jesus Christ, they know this too, you know. Anyone with brains enough to study a dictionary, plain dictionary, I would say any second or third, fourth grade student could look up the letter J and see when it was put in and when the King James Version was written. They can also find out there is no J in Greek or Hebrew. There's no way you can get Jesus from the word Yahshua. There's just no way. What was his name before they invented the letter J, which was in the 1600s, when they put the letter J? That's what your dictionary says. Any dictionary will tell you that. Now, I know these people are not complete fools, you know, but for some reason or another, they're hiding the facts. They don't want you to know the facts. If you notice, they never challenge me scripturally. How can you deny that his name is Yahweh? As much evidence as we have. There's no way you can. How can you deny the prophecies that said you're going to burn in hell for breaking my laws? You can't deny it. It's all over the Bible from one end to the other. And we're the only ones that's telling you, you need to repent of breaking Yahweh's laws. But Jesus Christ, the evidence is there, and who changed that name and who said you're going to worship this name, you're going to worship this God. This is going to be your God. I don't know if Constantine had sense enough to know that he picked two gods, but I think he did. He surely did, but he said, this is him. These two gods is the one God you're going to worship. So he kind of squeezed them together and here in a ball and said, you're going to worship this God. Well, of course, it's not the Savior, not the true Savior, but this God existed long before Constantine. The gods, these two gods, Zeus and Christus, were these two gods come from. That they're worshiping, they worshiped them long before this. And of course, I'm really thinking that Constantine, they said he was a complete idiot, history does, but I'm still thinking that the man knew what he was doing and trying to bring this Christianity in. This was Christianity that he brought in. And he knew this. And he said, this is the way it's going to be. And he told all the religions and made it a law, you know, you either worship this God or you're dead. One of the two. Then, of course, the crusade started, and by the cross, which everyone knows it's a fake. Everyone knows it's a symbol of Zeus, and it has nothing to do with the Holy Scriptures. There's no place in the Holy Scriptures that tells you to make a cross and conquer the people with a killing instrument. But this is what went on, and it started, as we finished the sermon last week, it started back in Genesis 49 with Simeon and Levi. And of course, their anger. And of course, the God that they were worshiping, they picked up in Egypt, of course. But they know, everyone knows, that this Jesus Christ is false and the name is Yahshua. They can't help but know that. The very meaning of the word Yahshua means Yahweh will save his people from their sins. And in every dictionary that I know of gives this information. But this institute now of higher learning was set up to reject Yahweh. The laws of Yahweh did not fit into their money-making schemes that they had in Egypt. And, of course, Yahweh sent them there for a reason. He sent Abraham's lineage to Egypt for this reason, to learn the way of the gods. It wouldn't have worked any other way because he could have kept Cain from sinning, but he was actually, mankind was actually made subject to vanity. And this is what we're told by Book 2. Yahweh made us subject to vanity and said, you've got to overcome it. It's there, sitting at your doorway, but you've got to overcome it to have to prove yourself. We have to prove ourselves for this kingdom. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a kingdom that would work forever. So he made us in this manner to where we would actually desire to go the other way. And from He made our minds, though, where we could use similitudes and we could actually make up our mind to follow this way, the righteous way, the righteous path. And that's the way we were made, but everybody must overcome and we must prove to heaven and earth that we're going to rule as Yahweh. Otherwise, we won't have any authority in the kingdom. We wouldn't have any authority. We wouldn't be honored among the universe, the beings in the universe. We would not have that honor if we didn't prove ourselves to Yahweh, to prove ourselves to follow these laws under extreme hatred, under pressure, under persecution. But anyway, this now, the reason they rejected Yahweh. Let's go back to chapter 10 of Genesis here. The reason they rejected Yahweh is because Yahweh's plan doesn't fit in this money-making scheme of the three major universities here and the bright future that they are facing. Their sign says, you know, bright future. As you enter Abilene, you'll see them, you'll see the signs, and of course this bright future that they're facing, Yahweh says they're facing it. But the bright future is going to burn up four-fifths of the earth's population, kill them along with famine and other things. But here in Genesis 10 now, for everyone that doesn't know in the TV land, this Nimrod, it wasn't a man. It was if you noticed, I brought this out before. Cush, he has children, and he names the children. Then the children are all named in verse 7. And then Cush, we have beget. The true translation should be fathered. He fathered. Cush fathered Nimrod, that it he created this institution. This institution, you've got to remember now and put it together, but let's be turning over to chapter 48. It's an institution of higher learning, but it's an institution of money. Money, taxes, paying taxes. It's a scheme that was put together as this one man, I've got to show you that film one of these days, but it's a millionaire or billionaire that has figured this thing out. And he said the schools were created to keep you under control, to keep you working for them. And in this, in what they're doing here is to make everyone put you in a position where you will make money, pay taxes to the government to support the huge government and to make it grow. They want a huge government. We saw that was all shown in this institution of Nimrod, because they wanted to create this in order to take over where they could put themselves above everyone else. Instead of being like Yeshua, putting himself under everyone and being a servant, which brings peace, they want to put themselves up over, bring themselves above. That was shown in this word Nimrod. And maybe we better go back there and read just a little of that. Not take for granted. Verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom. See, he started kingdoms. This, the beginning of it, was Babel, Erech, and Akkad, and all of them in the land of Shinar, that is Babylon, or which the word actually means confusion. So this institution that Cush started, we will see it involved teachers, or what they call school masters, as we will see in later then over here in chapter 49 of the prophecy concerning this family and the plan that Yahweh is bringing forward and has brought forward to this time period, and saying you're going to face in this time period because you have rejected my laws. And this group here that is given somewhat extra knowledge, extra understanding that was given to this group. This group then took over the world and brought this system that we see, this called Nimrod, brought it throughout the whole world. So they've got the whole world seeking money on the business reports. They are looking at Israel now, the land of Israel, which is also made up of the Abraham's lineage, but that's not the total of Abraham's lineage. That's only a very few. You're made up of Abraham's lineage. The practically the whole world is made up of Abraham's lineage. In fact, according to biology, there's no separate races at all. We're all the same blood and so forth. But in this one family that he brought forth, they multiplied tremendously, as chapter 48 here says, speaking of Ephraim and Manasseh, saying one is going to become a multitude of nations. The other one will be great, but this other one will become a multitude of nations and take over the earth. Well, here now in chapter 49, we see the prophecy concerning Simon and Levi, our brothers, their swords, their weapons of war, their weapons of violence, weapons of violence. Get this in your mind. This is going to be, and this is what Obama, whether he knew it or not, he's bragging about this right here. He's bragging about what we have become. Well, what we have become is going to kill us. What we have brought forth here, and this is what Yahweh is showing us here in this chapter, is violence that the world fears, of course, But you can't control people with fear. You can control people by being servants to them and everyone serving one another. A man would be a fool to step out of such a lovely situation as service to one another and become violent like this, but they can't see this right now. They can't see what it's even coming to. And then, let me not enter their council, which meaning they have council, and if you'll look this up, it means schools of higher learning. This is where it came from. And there's, I don't know how many hundred scriptures. I could spend months covering just the scriptures that this refers to right here. This council, this schools that's set up throughout the whole world, mentioned by Daniel as devouring the world. Let my glory not be joined to their assemblies, which means they have assemblies. Now, this is talking about religion. Religion here, that these people right here, these two brothers right here, is going to bring forth throughout the world. For in anger they kill a man. Yes? How many times is this taking place daily now? Even school shootings. In anger, they go and kill the teachers and the students until somebody shoots them down or they turn the gun on themselves. And they do it with pleasure, with much pleasure. And the example that you see, if you've read it yet, in Genesis 34, 33, 34, 35 of these two men and what they did to a prince and his family and in the tribe. If you could read that and not get sick at your stomach as to what this meant, what these two brothers did, and the confederacy that had already been formed probably in Egypt before they came out, but they used this against their brothers. When they wanted something, they went and took it. So Yahweh, instead of allowing this tribe to grow and take over the earth and just control it with fear and greed and killing, he scattered this among the tribes. And this is what was prophesied here, right here, that he would scatter them among the tribes. Look at it. Cursed be their anger, so furious. Yes, you see it, bits and pieces in the genes, but he wants you to see it throughout the world too. And their fury, so cruel, he says. And of course, they do this. They display this in the wars. And I'm sad to say that we saw it in Guantanamo Bay. And everybody should have seen that, what was taking place. You got anyone who has television sets, it was shown what these men are, what their characteristics were that Yahweh says is coming down to you in the end. For the last days, as verse 1 showed, a prophecy that was given by a great prophet here speaking to the lineage that he said was going to rule the world, possess the earth. Well, he says, I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them throughout Israel. Well, in doing this now, they became schoolmasters. This two groups here, which multiplied, and you got to study this closely and see their allotments and so forth to understand it, but they became the schoolmasters of the lineage of Abraham. And then when it came to Daniel, the prophet, he said, they've devoured or will devour the whole earth. This system here called worthless, it's a worthless system, the same thing that Christmas is called. Let's turn over to Isaiah 14 now and see this system. I can't tie this all in one day, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do, and then we will do it in 2010, I hope. Hope it all finishes in 2010. And here in Isaiah 14 now. Now, remember what we just saw and what I've just explained to you and the prophecy there in Genesis 49 concerning this family and these two tribes and their character, their evil, cruel, ruthless character that are the teachers of America. If you read about the crusades that the popes have brought throughout the earth, you can see Simon and Levi in them. You can see their character. If you read about the Crusades, they were just the same as they did with that prince and his family that wanted to repent. In fact, they were repenting. They wanted to be circumcised. They wanted to be a part of Israel. And the law says, let them do it. Let them start keeping my feast, and they won't be heathen anymore. They'll be my children. And that's what they were. They were even kinfolks. They were brothers and sisters to them. The evil mess that you see, and that's what you see in Abilene, throughout Abilene right now. You see violence taking place, shootings taking place, robberies, stealing, burglaries of all kinds. The police are swamped with calls. I feel sorry for the police department. They can't keep up with the calls. They don't have enough district attorney assistants to keep up with them. It takes weeks sometimes to get a case even assigned an officer to go work it. Weeks after, but that time, you know, they got the person's stuff sold and distributed all over Abilene. This is the way it's going. Babylon, this way of life is falling. There's no way you can control it. It's out of hand. But not only that, throughout the nations with nuclear activity. Who's got it? Well, maybe Iran don't have it. Maybe they don't have as much as the United States. But teamed up maybe with China, with Russia, with Pakistan, with all these, with India, who also has these. Yes, we have one mess on our hands right now. We're facing what FEMA says, get ready for. You know, get ready, get you 10 cans of soup and be ready to hibernate for a few days. Store it under your bed. And that's as much as they know about getting ready for this time period. Well, here in chapter 14 now, let's start with verse 3. It will come to pass in the day that Yahweh will give you rest from your sorrow and from your terror. This is what is taking place right now. And Yahweh is saying there's going to be an end to it. We say, when? Well, are you ready? Are you ready spiritually? Have you overcome everything that Yahweh wants you to? He's waiting on you, you know. We're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to get ready. That you will take, verse 4, that you will take up this proverb, that's a taunting speech, taunting, against the kings of the east, the kings of confusion, the kings of Babylon, which is kings of confusion, that the way of the kings of the east might be fulfilled. Well, this is what it's speaking of, chapter 14, but it's also speaking of now this lineage that we just read in chapter 49 of Genesis that is ruling the territory here, all the world right now, in fact. And say, how the oppressor, now get that, the oppressor, remember chapter 10 of Genesis and Revelation 17 and 18, all tie into this same thing. How the oppressor has ceased, the golden city. Now, this, you won't find this golden city in a linear. But if you had an old King James Version, like I did, I made you a blowed up copy where you could see it. But if you had that old King James Version that I had, that verse 4, the King James Version says golden city. It's there. It says that. But it comes from something else. And here's the blowed up copy. It's not very, very big, but maybe I can zoom in to where you can see it. I got it underlined. Or exactress. Exactress of gold. Now, this is speaking of a woman. An exactress of gold. Now, if you start tying all of this in to what this system called Nimrod. Called Nimrod. And what the reason they left Samuel. To read of this history of the Garden of Yahweh. The great Garden of Yahweh. If you could imagine what a beautiful sight that was when they said you'd come over a hill and here would be a valley of fruits and vegetables and everything so delicious looking, healthy animals, milk and flowing with milk and butter and honey. Now that was the scene of peace, peaceful living, and not rushed. You know, a farmer back in Oklahoma, when my dad was a farmer, I remember the quiet days at home after the crops were laid by and we had canned everything, getting ready for winter. And of course, we enjoyed that time period because of the fact that it was leisure time. We had animals to take care of course, and certain chores to do, but it wasn't hard work. I can't remember it ever being hard work except when I went out to work for other people, and of course they wanted you to put in a sweaty day of hard work, exerting work, but as far as on the farm where people could have made a living and did when Yahweh was blessing, but I've told you how he run people out of Oklahoma where I was raised up to get them to get this away from this thing that we see in Abilene right now, this kind of stuff away from my childhood to keep me from being involved or my whole family from being involved in this kind of stuff that comes from Nimrod here. But the Garden of Yahweh was the basic way of living, and it's the most important thing. There's nothing wrong with having other things. But when other things start bringing disruption into this peaceful way of life, then comes the cruelty of man's higher learning systems because they bring not only lust and fighting and the creation of confederacies. And, of course, building an army that can go out and take from other people. Well, here is what you see in this word now, but actually means this exactress, which, let me see, I've got one more thing. You can't find that word in a dictionary, by the way. I looked this morning, you can't find it at all. I thought, surely you can find it. It's in my old King James Bible. Surely it's in a dictionary, but it's not. But we did find it on the Internet dictionary. And a female exactor. Now, this shows you who's running the show, if you'll put this together with what he's showing you here in Isaiah, with what we have just learned earlier. And then a person who makes illegal or unreasonable demands, extortioner. Now, you wouldn't think that this would be taught in ACU and with the three major universities, but their money-making scheme here that this man was talking about, where they educate you and put you in a job. Put you in the job market so you can stay under their control. You can work, make money, pay taxes, buy their trinkets that they put on the market. And of course, they create the Christmas holidays here. They create holidays to make you spend, Turkey Day to make you buy turkeys, Christmas to make you buy any goofy thing that if you got a last dime in your pocket, oh, let's get this for somebody, you know. things that nobody want, and they try to take back, and they won't take them back. But that's some of it. And then, of course, Halloween, where they get the goofy mask, which this is going on all over Israel. I mentioned Israel. They had it in the business news because now the military is training. They set this up years ago. This is part of this schools of higher learning. But they set it up years ago where every child in Israel must go to the army. And in the army, they teach them these trades. They don't teach them how an overall thing where you can take where you can actually make a choice as to what you want. You can take a choice of whatever it is that's available to you there. And then when you get out of the army, when you're dismissed, you're always a soldier and can be drawn back in. But at the same time, you're capable of going into one of their businesses and managing one of their businesses for them to make them money. Well, this is what you see in the word Nimrod. They rebel against Yahweh's laws of peace to bring in this other system of living, of building armies, which we have the biggest here in the United States. We have the largest army in the world. Yahweh knew that, and he said, talking about this Babylonian land that was not established when Zechariah was speaking, but said it's going to be the chief nation of all nations in our time period when the two witnesses were called and the house of Yahweh was established in these last days. Well, here we see this golden city that means exactress, as you see there. If I can find this copy, there's several of the words here that are, let's see, verse 4. The word golden city that is written in Isaiah 14:4 are translated from the Hebrew meta abba. This word is listed on page 537 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldees Lexicon by Edward and Robinson, which shows the word means, one, oppression, and that's what it brings. If you think about the suicides at Christmas time and the oppression that this word means here to actually put you under force, the word, what did I get it? The word, a person who makes illegal or unreasonable demands. Actually, extortion, a person who collects taxes. Well, that's what we're seeing here, this oppression that's put on the people at these pagan holidays where they actually, it's almost like they are trying to force you, and they use their news medias. If you notice behind the person that's giving the news, they have a stack of presents behind him. This is going into your subconscious mind. And this subconsciously, this is suggestion. They may be having subliminal messages in the same news. I don't know, but I would think that would be very logical right now for them to do so, to get you to spend. They're trying every way possible to get you to spend. And to go spend your money to buy these things from these people. Now, your money, if you got it, you paid taxes on it. When you buy these presents, you pay a tax on that. Now, this is what Yahweh said when they wanted the king to reign over them. He said, this is the way it's going to be. And, of course, this is exactly the way this system worked. So you pay taxes. If you buy gasoline to go get it, you pay taxes there. You buy the presents, you pay the taxes. And of course, the store manager, when he buys, he pays taxes. He pays taxes on his business to operate the business. So it's a tax system that's working here. And the biggest part of the tax, I think something like 70% of it, goes to buy trillions of dollars, build trillions of dollars in nuclear activity. If you remember, when the first time we went to New York was the conference, the World Peace Conference, and we talked with Bawa Jane, who is I don't know what he's doing now, but at that time he was the gate opener. That's what his name meant. and he put the House of Yahweh in the UN at that time period, along with all the other religions of the world. And he told me, I visited him in his office privately, gave him our books, The Peaceful Solution and so forth. And then he told me, he said, there's no way of stopping this, you know. He said, at that time, this was, forgot what year, but it's 10 or 15 years, what?
2000,
year 2000. And he said, at that time, this is a $850 billion a year income for, you know, this industry, of the nuclear industry. And he says, there's no way you can stop this. There's too much money in it. Well, that's the thing. See, that's this system that we're dealing with here. Yes, they're bringing in billions of dollars. And of course, it goes into Boeing's pocket and all the ones that's, included in this war game that they don't want to run in. Well, that's what this word means. It means oppression. The word was erroneously translated, in the Masoretic Hebrew manuscripts, when a scribe or copyist either erroneously or deliberately mistook the Hebrew letter Rosh, originally written in this word, to be the Hebrew letter Delath. The way it should have been written is this golden city brings forth not only oppression, but it brings forth cruelty, slavery, keep you in slaves to their system, working for their system, and so forth. All of that is shown in that Hebrew word, and we translated it golden city. And the golden city ceased. The oppressor has ceased. The golden city ceased. Well, that's what Yahweh is showing, that it is going to cease. It won't be here forever, but it's going to kill itself. Now this is Isaiah 14. Now, speaking of this exactress, look on down to verse 9. Sheol the grave from beneath is excited to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up for their thrones all the kings of the nations, kings of the east. That's part of your system. This exactress that has put this system together, they think it's to bring joy and gladness. And what does their songs? The peace on earth, good will to men, God's will to men. Well, this God's will to men, hold your place right there. You got to remember this and put it with it. In chapter 3, in verse 11, it's speaking of this very thing, and showing that Yahweh will have a work, but the only work. And then in verse 11, he says, therefore, this is what Father Yahweh says, an adversary, an exactress. Called Golden City. That sounds like Reno, Nevada, don't it? The Golden City. Everything is glittery gold. Well, everything that glitters is not gold, is saying also gold. An adversary is surrounding the land, and she will bring down your strength from you, and your palaces will be plundered. Well, of course, this is what we're seeing here. And he's saying, all of these gods that have come up from the earth, that men that you have made kings and guided them in this system, they're going to be anxious to see you because they're all dead, and you're going to die just like your uncircumcised servants died. Uncircumcised in heart, of course. All of them will speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp, pride is brought down to the grave. Sheol, with the sound of your harps, the worm, maggot, is spreading under you, and the worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, O Hillel, Lucifer, Venus, child of the light. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. What right now you can see the weakness coming into the nations. You can see it crumbling. You can see every move they're making here is backfiring on them. And Yahweh says it's going to bring you sickness, disease. We see that. It's going to bring famine. We see that. It's creeping in. FEMA is saying, get ready for it. You better get you a can of soup hid where nobody can steal it. It's almost hilarious. It's like Larry, Curly, and Moe, you know, running the whole world right now. You know who Larry, Curly, and Moe is, sure. Praise Yahweh. For you have said in your heart, this is what's bringing you down. This is Satan, the exactress that's head over this Nimrod rebellious system, the schools of higher learning that Yahweh spread throughout so they could be leaders, be the schoolmasters of the world. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend above the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of Yahweh. Now, what would that get her? You think what a beautiful life this person had, a beautiful position this person had, and she wants to throw it all away, put herself in danger. And mankind would have been working for her at one time had she not done this. But this is what she wanted. I will sit in the highest place on the holy mountain of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights. I'll have a bright future of disease, famine, wars, and it's going to destroy this whole system that Yahweh has made. Of course, that's her hopes. That's what she's leading these people. Of course, the professors at these major universities, they don't realize this. They got their mind set on business and making more money. And bringing in, teaching more students to make more money to bring to them, to put in their pockets. This is the system they're working for. And they don't even realize how stupid a system it is. You know, what's it got you? Can you take it with you, as the old saying goes? You know, you can't take it with you. That's what they say. You can't. It's all worthless. I will be like the Most High. Well, of course, the Most High, Yahweh himself, he lives simply. He lives a simple life. He doesn't have gadgetry. He doesn't have the glittering make believe that goes on the Christmas tree. You know, they don't even deck it with silver and gold anymore. They use imitation, and everywhere you look, it's imitation. That's what they're selling you. Yet you will be brought down to Sheol. That is the system. This system and the one that's leading this is this exactress. Those who see you will stare at you, and they will talk about you, saying, is this the one, the adversary who shook the earth and made the kingdoms tremble? That's what ACU, that's the bright future you're looking at. Whether you know it or not, that's your bright future right here. Is this the one who made the world like a wilderness, who overthrew the cities in it and who would not let the captives go free? Yes, that's her. 21, it shows the iniquities of the fathers. That's the lineage of Abraham that Yahweh made the prophecy so clear in. I know my time is up, but let's turn over quickly to Yekishka here, the 26th chapter. And you got to tie this in. Every prophet spoke of this very thing. Yekishka 26. And here we see in verse 2 now, we see Son of Man, because Tyre, here's a great example of the character of Simon and Levi. And remember what they did to that prince and his family, his whole tribe. They wiped out the whole tribe and took all of his possessions, wives, children, made slaves out of them. Son of Man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, she's broken down. The gate of the people has swung open to me. I will be replenished. I will be replenished. Now she is laid waste. This was their attitude. This is the attitude of the world. Take what you want. Look on over to chapter 28, and here he's speaking of the prince of Tyre. The prince of Tyre, or the princess of Tyre. And we see the war and the violence. We see, if you look at verse 3 there, you see the gods. Let me read that. Prince of Tyre, this is what Yahweh says. Because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am God. You know, that's what they said of one man of Callahan County said, the people, the leaders in ACU think they are gods. They preach the same. In fact, I remember a well-known preacher that said, you can be the God family. You can be one of the God family. Well, they are. In fact, the Psalm says, have I not said you're all gods? That's what you're doing. You're making yourself in the image of gods when you follow this system. You have said in your heart, I'll be a god. God El, in the midst of the seas, that is, midst of the people. Remember, these are the waters that you saw are peoples, multitudes, languages, and nation. And look at verse 4. The gain for riches, with your wisdom and with your understanding, you have put it into riches, gaining riches. Get a house full of silver and then die. And where's it going to go? Where are you going to go? Look at the next verse there, 5. By your great wisdom in your trading. You see, the system of this world is the same as we're seeing right here. And the one that leading it is the main god of the bunch. And have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Because of what you own. Therefore, this is what Father Yahweh says, because you have set your heart to be a god. Look on down to verse 10. And now let's get verse 8. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Will you still say to the face of him who slays you, I am God? You will be but a created being, and not the Almighty, in the hands of him who slays you. You will die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of the stranger. Uncircumcised means never to live again. For I have spoken, says Father Yahweh. What else we want to see here? Look on down to verse 16 quickly. By the multitude of your merchandise, this is what we see in this creation of what is called Nimrod, or rebellion against training yourself for Yahweh's laws, training yourself for a kingdom of servants. They become a kingdom of gods here, and they merchandise. Their whole life is spent on merchandising. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence. Yes, it brings forth violence. And of course, that's what we see in the character of Simon and Levi. And you have sinned, broken the laws of Yahweh. Look on over let's get 17, verse 17. And your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you have corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before the kings, your own kings, in fact. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, pushing away of the law, and by the iniquities of your trading. Therefore, not using the laws of Yahweh, the just scales and so forth, as is speaking of and given in the law. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It will devour you, and I will bring you to ashes. Of course, this is speaking of the end part. This is the bright future that the Nimrod system faces. The bright future. It's all shown here in the face of AIDS epidemic that's spreading like gangrene. So is hatred and fear, the lust for what the other nations have, that is bringing on the wars, the merchandising that puts everybody under oppression. The people are so oppressed right now at this time of the year. Many are committing suicide. Many of the soldiers are committing suicide because of oppression. Anyway, what we're facing is much different from what Yahweh is facing. Our job, of course, is to bring forth his message of a peaceful kingdom to all the world. And then after this is made clearer, after they really start seeing this, where anybody can see it and see what's taking place and see that what Yahweh said is actually coming true, once they start seeing this, they'll start hunting you, brethren, for the rest of the lessons. May Yahweh bless you. I love you.